Deuteronomy chapter 31, if you would stand with me, we're going to read one verse this morning and then we're going to pray. The Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. We're interested in the middle part of that verse where it says, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, for the opportunity you've given us to look into a portion of it. I pray, God, you'll touch us today with thy preaching spirit of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, you'll just illuminate our minds and help us, God, inspire us to preach your word. I pray, Father, we'd see truth, receive help. God, only you can give, and only you can do for it us what it is that we require and need today. And Lord, to you we look and ask these measures in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Need to realize something here about the children of Israel. They have come out of bondage. They have left Egypt. They have come to the Red Sea. The Lord prepared a way for them to cross the Red Sea. Then as they began to look and come close to the promised land, they began to complain. Let's go back. Hold your place here in Deuteronomy 31. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 14. While they were out in the middle of the wilderness and come close to the promised land there, and they were on a straight as arrow trip at that point in time, they sent spies out into the promised land to check it out, and only two of them said they could take it. The rest of them said, we feel like we're a bunch of grasshoppers and we can't do it. Now the Bible says in verse 26 of Numbers 14, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Because the children of Israel had murmured against God and against the man of God, God said, This thing will I do. All of you that are 20 years old and older, old enough to know right from wrong, old enough to know and hear and heed my voice that have rejected it, all of your carcasses except the two men that believe me are going to fall and perish in the wilderness. And all of your children that are 20 years old and under, they're going to go into the promised land, but not until you've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they could have shrugged their shoulders and said, we don't believe you. That's all right. They didn't believe him anyway. That's why they wouldn't go over. Now they're going to be wandering around in the middle of the wilderness. Turn over now with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29. We are going somewhere this morning. Remember that children of Israel now have been brought out of the bondage of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, straight to the promised land, but they murmured against God, and now God's going to cause them to have to simply wander around. Deuteronomy 29 verse 2. Moses called unto all Israel, said unto them, You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear until this day. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. This is 40 years later now. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. Imagine that, ladies, having a dress that fits you for 40 years and look just as new 40 years later as it did the day it was first made and put on. Hallelujah. Fellas, imagine a pair of shoes. Amen. Read the next part. Thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Imagine a pair of shoes you could wear for 40 years. And as your foot grew wider or fatter, or as you got older and it got skinnier, the shoe always fit your foot and it never wore out. Imagine that. Preacher, how's that possible? I cannot explain it to you. But the Bible tells us it's so. And I believe it. He said, you have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. You say, wait a minute, they did eat bread. No, they didn't. They ate manna. That was heaven, angel food, amen? That was God raining down manna upon them. Manna means, what is it in the Hebrew? It wasn't bread. It was the bread of God. It was not like the bread you and I eat. He said, I've fed you for 40 years, clothed you for 40 years, put shoes upon your feet for 40 long years. Now, go back with me to our text verse this morning in chapter 31, verse number 14. And I want us to see point number one of the message this morning, the situation. He said, behold, thy days approach that thou must die, Moses. Why was Moses going to die? Moses had led them from the bondage of Egypt all the way 40 years. They wandered through the wilderness, and now they're getting ready to cross the promised land. What's going to happen? Moses, because God told him to speak to the rock or smite the rock to begin with, he smote a rock and water came from it. Representing Jesus Christ being smitten and his blood was shed for you and I to receive salvation. The second time that the congregation got thirsty and were murmuring, he said, Moses, I don't want you to smite the rock, but I want you to speak to the rock. But instead of speaking to the rock, he got angry and he smote it. Therefore, God said, because you disobeyed me, you're going to die, and you're not going to step into the promised land, and Joshua's going to be taken over. So the situation is this. Moses is going to be departing the scene. It leaves a lot of question marks in the congregation's mind as to who the new leader will be. The young man Joshua, the Lord's ordaining here, and says, call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation's that I may give him a charge. The young man Joshua had no experience. He was green as grass. He didn't know a whole lot. Maybe the congregation thought, we'll lead him around by the nose. We'll train up Joshua the way we want Joshua to be trained up. And I want to say to you, it's up to God to train Joshua. It's up to God to take Joshua and teach him how to lead the people. And I want you to know, in Joshua's life, the people followed Joshua just like they followed Moses, because God did a supernatural thing and took that young, inexperienced man, Joshua, and magnified him in front of all the people. If Joshua could testify today, he'd tell you, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm green as grass and need to be mowed regularly. I have no idea how to lead. I'm just following God, and he's in control of the entire situation. I can see the uncertainty of the congregation about a change in leadership. I can see uncertainty for Moses as he's going to be departing the scene and moving on. The Bible says in chapter 31, verse number 2, he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Chapter 31, verse 2, I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. So here we have Moses, the leader, departing. Joshua, inexperienced, getting ready to step into place. The congregation mixed with emotions and uncertainties and question marks. It's a dark time in their lives, would you not say? I mean, if the bugler would have been on the battle scene at this hour for the congregation, he would have blown the retreat sound. We need to retreat because it's a dark hour. But I want to preach this morning what God's laid on my heart. When retreat becomes charge. If there's ever a time for the people of Israel to retreat, I mean the circumstances that they'd been looking for to quit had finally arrived. For their circumstance to say, well, let's just quit serving God. All this stuff's happening and we don't like the change. I mean, if you're looking for a circumstance to quit, you'll find one today. You might as well just go on. That's not what we need in this church. We need disciples. We need people that'll be here, faithful to the cause, to stand up for God and right, and to base their lives on the principles and the doctrines of the Word of God. Amen. Here there is a dark time in the congregation. But look what God speaks through Moses down in verse 6. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I mean, man wants to retreat. The bugler wants to sound retreat. But God says, hey Moses, in verse 14, hey Moses, you go get Joshua. I'm going to clear up the question marks. I'm going to take the uncertainties out of the equation. You go get him, and I'm going to charge him. Now, charge does mean command, but it can also mean pressing on. Push forward. He says, don't retreat. It's time to push forward. Don't back up and ask questions. Keep pressing on. Keep pushing on. Look with me now. I want you to notice that these words, be strong and of a good courage, or the phrase, be strong and very courageous, it occurs 11 times in the Old Testament. Repeated 11 times in the Old Testament. Now, if God says it one time, it's important to me. But if He says it 11 times, it better get our attention. Think God's trying to tell us today, you ready to retreat and give up? You're going to throw the towel in and say, I quit. I'm done. I'm telling you, I've done it 15 times in about 3 weeks. God, I'm done. I beg permission to go, permission to leave just for a little while, Lord. Permission to go somewhere else. Send me here, send me there. And God, I'm ready to throw the towel in. And all of a sudden I look, and it got thrown back at me. I want to throw it again. And He picked it up and thrown it back at me again. I want to say to you today, you won't quit and walk away if you want to. You'll quit or walk away when God says so. I want to say to you today, my friends, it is not time to retreat, but it is time to charge. Amen. Yeah, man.
I don't know what I'm doing here with this microphone. It's making noise.
But the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Go over to verse 23. When God's got Joshua and Moses together, He gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge. A charge. Hey, I like it when God puts a charge in it, don't you? I mean, you come to the service and you sit there and you're ready to go to sleep. When God comes in and gives you the charge and gives you the orders, the command, look what He says. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Amen. There's our situation. It's a dark hour. A lot of question marks and uncertainties. But God says, keep pressing on. I'm charging you today. The second thing we need to see, and we've already read it, is the statute. And look at this statute. Be strong and of a good courage. This is not a request from God. God is not saying, oh, I wish you'd be strong. Oh, how I hope you'd have a good courage. It's not a request of God. That's the way we treat it. Like God's requested us to be strong and face this mountain. Face this battle. I mean, hell comes against you and fights against you. And you got all these problems and circumstances. And you feel like God's made a request of you to be strong. He's not requesting you to be strong. He's not wishing that you will. He's not hoping that you'll stand in there. No, it's not a request. It is not even his desire. What do you mean his desire? Well, I hope you won't give up. I hope you'll stay in the fight and stay down there and stay true to me. God's not desiring that of you. God is not requesting that of you. He is mandating a command from headquarters to tell you, you will be strong and you will be of a good courage. It's not time to retreat and back up. It's time to charge and press on. You don't know it, but the enemy's on his heels and he's trying desperate measures and desperate tactics. I mean, to try to infiltrate things, and you're looking around. Well, what does that mean? Now's the time, God says, to be strong and of a good courage. Now's not the time to give up, is what he's saying. Now, you found the circumstances you've been looking for to quit, but God's not give you permission. I know the fight's great. I know that the battle is sore. But I want to ask you today to heed the voice of God. It's not my request. It's not my desire. It's His command that He's told me to issue to you today. So we see a statute, number 3. I want us to take time to go back to chapter 30. See a little background and find out, preacher, how is it that if it's time to retreat that we feel like in our flesh, that God would sound the charge and tell us to press on and go forward? Preacher, how can we do that? Well, you have to have a source for it. It's in chapter 30, verse 11. The source. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Hey, the command of God. You may say, I'm not spiritually discerning. I'm not very bright. I'm not the brightest light bulb that's ever been, preacher. Oh, God said this command is not hidden from you. It is not even far off from you. Verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. I'm telling you, it's not in the heavens. This command today, this source, it's not in the heavens. Verse 13. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. You may say, well, it's in a foreign mission trip and I need to sail the ocean blue and then I'll find out the true meaning of life and I'll find out what the statutes of God are, what His charges and His commandments are. God said, you don't have to go across the sea to find it. You ain't got to go in the foreign mission field. Just stay right here where you are. He says the source is right here where you are. Preacher, what are you talking about? Verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You see, the source is the power of the Scriptures. That's the source. That's what we're to base our lives on. I'm telling you, this is the fuel to persevere. This is the fuel that you and I mean, if you don't have a relationship with this book, you don't have a good, strong source. I want to challenge you to get in this book. In this book is the precepts. In this book is the standard. In this book is the command of God that says don't retreat, but charge. Stay in this book. It's not far off from you. It's not across the sea. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. David said, thy word, O God, have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible says that you and I ought to search the Scriptures. He told the Pharisees, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that do testify of me. He said, you think you got eternal life in the law. But if you'd read a little further, you'd find that life is in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in no other. He is the Word of God, and He is alive this morning. And you and I have a copy of it laying right here in our hands. He, hallelujah, is our source. Now the Bible says if you and I do not study this book and know this book, in Matthew 24, it says that Satan, or through his false prophets, he could deceive the very elect.
Amen.
You looked at me funny. Matthew 24, 24.
Amen.
Turn there with me. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I'm telling you, you better get acquainted with this book. You better get a closer walk with this book. You better get a handle on this book. Try to understand it, read it, study it, put it in your heart wherever and whenever you can. Because the Bible says if it were possible, that the devil would try to deceive the very elect.
Amen.
You got to be careful nowadays, my friend. I want you to turn back with me here to Deuteronomy. I want you to see something else today. I can tell I'm not going to get through this morning. It's going to be a long, long message, I know. But I want you to know that God's trying to tell us today that we don't need to retreat, but we need to charge. And we see the situation. We see the statute. And we see the source, but back in chapter 30, verse 15, we see some seriousness that you and I better have about how we handle things in the house of God. Verse 15. Now I want you to put your thinking caps on with me for a second. He says in verse 15, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil." Now, I want to say something here before I read the rest of these verses, and you're going to see what I'm getting at in a minute. You got to be careful. You say, well, life and good, death and evil, those are two choices. Well, it's more than two choices. Huh? Yeah, it's life and good, death and evil. There's four choices there. There's four. And the one you better choose life. I choose good. Good won't cut it, my friend. Good will send you straight to hell. You can be good all the days of your life and not go to glory. You must choose life, and that life is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the source, the standard, the scriptures testify of this. Read the rest of these verses, and I'll try to make this point to you to see, help you see it. "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life." He didn't say choose good. He said choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You may say, "Preacher, I think life and good go hand in hand there." Well, let's get your theology out in front of everybody. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis. Chapter number 2. You better be careful to choose life. Not good, not evil, not death. You better choose life. Hey, some of us choose good. But the Bible in Genesis 2 verse 16... "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Do you realize that on that tree, good and evil was on the same tree? And on that same tree, by partaking of it, You break fellowship with God, you sent your soul to hell by choosing good or by choosing evil. Now I know you say, well, I know if you choose evil, you're going to go to hell. But if you choose good, I couldn't tell you how many people in my lifetime I've been around and says, well, I'm doing good deeds and I'm a good person and I've got good morals and I've got good standards. But the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Went up there to the hospital, was visiting somebody, and a person in the bed right beside him over there, walked over to him and I said, how are you today, sir? And he said, I'm fine. And I said, and if you was fine, you wouldn't be in the hospital. And he laughed. He said, well, I'm doing pretty good. And I said, sir, could I have prayer with you? He said, yes, son, you can. I said, do you believe in prayer? He said, yes, I do. I said, are you a Christian then, sir? He said, yes, I am. I said, on what merits are you a Christian? He said, I'm a good person. I stopped right there and I thought he's eating of the same tree that Adam and Eve ate of. It's the same tree that deceived them and thought they could hide from God and make it. But God came looking for them. And that night down at the hospital down here, God came looking for a little man laying in the hospital bed that was trying to do good to get in. And I looked at him. I said, sir, the Bible doesn't teach that. He said, sure it does, son. I said, no, sir. God called me to preach a gospel. And Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, yeah, I know that. He said, but I thought good would get you there too. And I said, friend, the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, one sin you've committed, if you try to do good the rest of your life, and that one sin goes unforgiven, and you never repent and get saved, your soul's going to hell. After just a little bit of speaking and communicating with him, the Holy Ghost began to settle in there. He looked at me and said, sir, I want to be saved today. I want to quit calling myself a Christian, and I want to become one. Well, glory to God, for another child of the King that got birthed in over there at the hospital. For all I know, if he'd have got sick, nobody would ever come to see him. If he hadn't got sick, he'd have never heard the gospel and maybe never got saved. You see, sometimes bad things happen to get us where we need to be, that we might receive real help. I want to say to you, amen, if you think you're going to choose good and get by, it won't work. Good and evil come from the same tree. You may make a stand and say, I'm standing in righteousness. But if you stand in righteousness and you're hurting people by doing so, it's the same as doing evil. They grow on the same tree. And the Pharisees said, well, we do good. We keep the law. We fulfill this. We keep that. But you know what? What's the difference? They grow from the same tree. If you don't come through Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, temperance. I mean, all these wonderful things. I'm telling you, doing good, amen, don't always produce fruit of the Spirit. You may make a stand in righteousness, but it may not be what is really right. Amen? Go back with me, book of Deuteronomy. I'm just about done for this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 31. Chapter number 30, excuse me. You may say, preacher, I don't like that kind of theology. He said, I've set heaven and earth today as a record against you. And I'm asking you and telling you and commanding you that you had better choose life. Because good and evil grow from the same tree. Neither one's going to save your soul. You had better choose life. What choice will you make? There's people making choices in this church every day. The choices you make will affect not just you. It will affect your children. It will affect your grandchildren. It will affect your family. It will affect your friends. It will affect those, my friend, that you come in contact with in the house of God. What you choose will affect a bunch more people than just you. And because of the weight of that matter, you'd better weigh your decision. He says, I'm asking you and telling you and commanding you, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Last point, and I'll close this morning, verse 20. We've seen the situation. We've seen the statute. We've seen the source. We've seen the seriousness of our choices and our decisions. Last of all, let us see the security that we have. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that may, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Let's think about this just for a minute. Your security is not in this church. I don't care how many times your name is recorded in the Bethel Baptist Church's roll. You're not saved if you didn't come through Jesus. I don't care how many times you've been baptized down there at the river. If you didn't come through Jesus, you didn't get in. I don't care how big that Bible is you carry and laying on your lap. If you don't come through Jesus, you ain't going to get in. I don't care what church it is you attend, what denomination you're affiliated with. If you don't come through Jesus, He is the life. The security is this. First of all, in love. This situation of love in the Hebrew here indicates an intimate relationship such as a husband and a wife. Their intimate love that they have between each other. It's something that you don't discuss in front of everyone or in front of anyone. But the love we have for God and the love He has for us is to be intimate and affectionate. But nowadays, we're not real affectionate with God, are we? We're a bunch of dried up old prunes. Ain't no wonder our relationship between God and us is so affected and dried out. Amen? We're not affectionate with Him anymore. Second of all, He uses the word obey, that thou mayest obey His voice. Now, to obey means, first of all, you better hear intelligently. And it means you better give Him your undivided attention and hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And once you hear it, to obey it means you're going to act upon it. You know God still speaks. Somebody said He ain't spoke to me in a long time. Well, I want to tell you this. He only speaks to those that has an ear to hear. He don't waste His time on somebody that don't want to hear Him. Somebody's not going to recognize Him. Somebody don't want to have fellowship with Him. God don't speak to them. God's looking for he that hath an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Hey, when He says, don't retreat, but charge, He said it to somebody that has an ear turned toward heaven. Said, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm in trouble. Situation's bad. The dark clouds are on the horizon. Where am I going to go? He says, hey, charge. Keep pressing on. Amen. He's not wasting His time on somebody that just wants to go in doom and gloom all the time and don't want His help and don't want to hear Him. To obey means you have an ear for God. Next of all, that thou mayest cleave to Him. To cleave means to adhere to like glue. To follow after. Hey, He's our shepherd. And as His little sheep, we ought to be following right after Him. When the shepherd leads, the sheep don't say, no, I don't like that green pasture. No, I don't like that water. No, we're not going in the barn tonight. No, we like it. No, that's not what the sheep do. It's up to the shepherd where we go. It's up to the shepherd when we go and how we go. It's all up to the shepherd. But nowadays, we of sheep have got educated. We think we can do what we won't do when we won't do. Hey, I got a whosoever will, preacher. Yeah, you do. But He's made a command to you that you need to love the Lord your God. And you need to obey His voice. And you need to cleave. I mean, the Bible tells me that the daughter-in-law named Ruth, she claimed to Naomi. She said, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you going to be buried, I'm going to be buried. I'm sticking to you better than Elmer's glue. Better than crazy glue. I'm sticking with you. Hey, what is going to make you kick out of here? Out of this church? I'm not going to go down there no more. I'm going to go, what's going to make you kick out? The devil's looking for it. He's trying to find it. He may dress it up and say, well, this is a good thing to do. Really? Leaving the house of God is a good thing to do. Seeing people hurt and suffer, broken hearts all around is a good thing to do. I'm not buying it. Do evil and try to hurt people does the same thing. I want to say to you this morning, believe with all my heart, He says, I want you to cleave. Now, if you're going to cleave unto Him and He's thy life and the length of your days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them, you got to know this. You want more of God, or have you had enough? This morning I'm preaching to a people this morning. I can tell by looking at you. You're like, I'm out of my long stomach of that preacher this morning. When retreat becomes charge, how many times are you going to say that to me? I got it. I understand. It's 12 o'clock. It's time to go. Hey, you'll either want more of God or you'll say, I've had enough. I mean, you have as much God as you want. You can go down there to the steakhouse. You can't have as much steak as you want today. They'll give you a portion, slab it on your plate. You'll eat it. And if you want anything else, then you'll run to the dessert bar. Amen? You can have as much God as you want. But a lot of us say, I've just had enough. I've just had enough. I want to ask you this morning. Are you ready to retreat? Who is it ready to up a white flag and say, I'm ready to retreat and give in. I found the circumstance to leave. You know what you need to do? You do need to go. You need to go. God's not going to use you.
Amen.
He's trying to tell you that's ready to throw that white flag up. He said, I'm going to tear it off of its little pole there. I'm going to throw it back down there at you. And I'm going to tell you, get right back in the fight. You go right back to your Sunday school class. You go right back to your one program. You go right back down there to the pew you occupy. You keep praying. You keep shouting. You keep serving me. Don't you just wheel out because you found the circumstance you were looking for to quit. But I don't agree. I don't agree. Well, that's good. Bless your heart. And I want to say to you today, you better agree with him. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just, as far as mankind go, you just need to say, you know what? Let's just agree that we disagree. And let's just keep serving God. You stand with me this morning. Friend, the fight is great and the battle is sore. And question marks surround you today. Moses was going to be departing. Joshua's coming on the scene. A congregation filled with uncertainties. What does this mean? God tells you, it's not about the leadership, it's about me. The headship. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. Pray, God, you'd take it and help it to fall upon engrafted ears and upon fertile hearts. Pray, God, that you'd take the word of God today and help us to make application that we might not retreat, but that we would charge ahead. Lord, I pray today, I remember how old David, when the giant Goliath was swearing against the Lord God, the Bible does not say that David snuck up on him. The Bible says he ran and met the enemy. Lord, today help us then to charge. Keep pushing on and press forward. Now is not the time to retreat. Back up and quit. Lord, I pray today, God, you'd help us to love one another. Help us to love, Father, as we've never loved before. And help us, God, not just to overlook sin, but God, help us, Father, to look past each other's faults and help us to see our own faults. And help us to see the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would help us to see these truths. It's time right now, in the midst of retreat, the bugler's ready to sound. I pray, God, you'd tell him to sound charge, and we'd believe him. Lord, we ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen.